We're going to kick off today a two-week series, just for 2 weeks. And before you tune me out, if you saw the video roll in there, I want to make this clear. This is not, and if you're listening online, this is not, I repeat, not. Everybody say not. Not. This is not a get more money out of you series. This is not a we're going to pass the offering plate until we hit a certain number, and if we don't get it, we're just going to keep passing it. Because we're not even taking up an offering today, other than our normal tithe and offering, so just relax. We're going to talk about money for the next two Sundays. So I'm telling you, I normally don't tell you ahead of time specifically, but I'm telling you, you don't want to miss, because I believe these will be some life-changing principles if you have not gotten a hold of what we're going to talk about today. This series is because I want you to have everything that God's Word promises us. I was telling somebody, and we'll talk about this at the end of the message, that if you could have what's good or what's best, what would you prefer? Good is sufficient, but I want to have what's best. And the only way that happens is when you get it from God, when you get what God promises us. But the problem is there's an extremely wrong and worldly understanding when people hear church talk about money. And we say, oh, I'm going to be blessed, or I'm blessed. And when I say, if I say to somebody I don't know, and they know I'm a pastor, and I say, well, I'm really blessed, what goes through their mind? Oh, he's got money. Oh, he means by blessed, he equates that to money. Well, that is not what the Bible says. It is not money. God wants so much more for us than to just have money. God promises in his word that it works, and God's way does work. The problem is that we have a misunderstanding of blessing. That we think that we're just blessed so I can then show off. You know, so I can show off to everybody, my girlfriends, you know, my boyfriends, my other family members. I can show them the bling. I can show them the shiny car. I can show them the new toys. I can show them my stuff. And please hear me. There is nothing wrong with stuff. The problem then is when stuff becomes more important than God. I just like any of you guys or ladies who hunt, I mean, if somebody came in and said, hey, here's my bright new shiny new rifle, I'd be just as excited as you are, because that's cool to me. It interests me. But that stuff is not why God blessed you. Because a blessed life is purely defined as one who blessed others. So here's the problem. We talk about blessed being income, but we never talk about blessed being an outgoing. You see pastors online and people, you know, there's a whole faith, there's movements when I grew up of these faith movements, right? My favorite one was the name it and claim it. That just because I name it and claim it, God's obligated to give it to me. Well, no, he's not. Or the other phrase I heard for that was the blab it and grab it. And it just became that, a bunch of noise. And we're not living what the Bible says and promises us. Look in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. It says that I will make you into what? A great nation. I'm going to make you into the greatest, the best. And I will bless you. I'll bless you. God's saying, listen, I'm going to give this to you. And then we stop there. I'll take it, God. Bless me. I'll take it, God. You know, give me a raise. Let me win the lotto. Let somebody walk up to me and give me $100. Don't get me wrong. Any of those are good, and I'm not going to turn it down. But read the rest of the verse. It says, and you will be a what? Come on, church. Let's say this together. You will be a blessing to yourself? No, to others. So the cycle doesn't finish until God blesses you, and then we in turn give it outward to begin to do something with what God's given us. The problem is that we're born naturally selfish. All of us. The Bible says we're born into sin, and part of the sin nature is just to be selfish. For any of you who have kids, did you have to teach your kids the word mine? No. If you've had kids or been around kids or kept, you know, more than one kid, then somewhere in your life you've heard World War III break out in the back room because one child has taken something from another child, and one is sitting back in the there screaming what? Mine. It's like the seagulls on Finding Nemo. Mine. And at some point, parents, and this is how you tell if you're a new parent or you've been had kids for a while. You give up on justice and what's right. That goes out the window. And you just walk in screaming, give it to her. Well, it's mine. I don't care. Give it to her. Because your only goal in life is just silence. So you don't care if it is the other child or who rightfully owns it. You just want quiet. See, we're built with that mind attitude. And we learn this word very quickly. Let me give you another one. I'll speak for just men for a minute. Because I'm sure, ladies, there's not a selfish bone in your bodies, right? Well, men have some faults. And one of them is this. We have this thing called my food. My food. Like we go to a restaurant and we sit down, and Melanie will always ask me, what are you going to order? And I nicely now have figured out after 20 years that the answer is not my food. The answer is whatever you like, honey. Or do you want to share? It's taken a while. Because our normal answer is, I'm going to order my food. Because what happens always when the food gets to the table? Can I have a bite? No, it's my food. And y'all can laugh, and men here who are saying, no, that's not me, you're lying. Because you may give up your food, but somewhere in your mind you're thinking, that's my food. I'll order you extra fries. I'll even give you the fries in the bottom of the bag. But this box of food is mine. And see, that's the way we act with our blessing. We all come in, and we'll be excited for you. Oh, Jimmy got blessed. He got something, or God did something in his life. And then God did something in my life, and God speaks to you. Well, why don't you share your blessing? No. And we sit and argue with God, just like our 4 and 5 year olds. It's mine. It's mine. I know I want you to give it away, but it's mine. I know I want you to bless somebody. It's mine. I know, but they need it. It's mine, right? It's quiet in here. Because that's the way we think. It's mine. I win the lotto. I buy stuff. It's mine. I get a raise. I buy more stuff, or I get a bigger house. And there's nothing wrong with any of that, but it's mine. And that is where, before we can become what the Bible calls a good steward. A good steward just simply means that you leverage what you've got to get as much out of it as you can. In kingdom terms or in Christian terms, it means that we do as much as we can to win as many people as we can to Christ. That every dime that you guys bring in tithe and give in an offering, that we leverage that to do as much as we can. That's honestly why we do the egg drop. Years ago, we did the egg drop here. And we had a lot of people on our campus here coming to see the church that had never been here before. But then God kind of put it on my heart one day, and I was talking it out with Melanie's, why do we make them come here and we schedule around the livestock parade? Why don't we just go to them? And it's a much better use, if you're talking per person, of the finances and the things that God's given us, your generosity. So for now, this is the 8th year, I think, maybe the 5th or 6th year of doing it there, we just go into the parade. And it's our honor to join the community and be out in public and love on people and love on the kids. It's because it's leveraging. It's we're being a good steward. But before we learn about being a good steward, we need to learn about this word. And it can be a dirty word to some of us. And that's ownership. Who owns it? The money in your wallet, the money in your bank, the car you drove up in, the house you have, the appliances you bought, your TV. God and I have been around in circles about that one because that's my TV. He said, no, it's not. The ownership is crucial for both being blessed and being a blessing, because if you don't understand that, I think it hamstrings us in what God wants to give us and what he wants to do. The Bible is very clear that God blesses a generous what? Giver. But the Bible is also very clear that God blesses somebody who stewards what he's given us. Remember the story of the parable of the talents? The short of the story is he gave 3 to 1, 2 to 1, and 1 to 1, and then he came back. The first two had made some more, and the last one said, "Well, I knew you were going to take it where you don't take what's not yours, and you're going to reap where you did not sow, and so I just hid it, and then here's your money back." And the Bible says, "Take it from him and give it to the other two." Well, he's not being mean. It's a demonstration of God says, "Listen, I'm going to honor those who steward what I give them." So the question is, who owns it? But understanding who owns all the stuff is a must for stewardship because, number one, it all belongs to God. Now, thank you for the amens. But let me stop you a second. Just bite your tongue for a minute. Do we really mean that? Think about the magnitude of what you just said. It's all God's. Because that's not how we live. We say it, we may think it, but if it's really all God's, then we would hold our stuff with much more of an open hand. And I'm not saying this as somebody who's got a handle and always opens my hand and gives what God tells me to give. I fight with it just like you do because I'm human and I have a flesh that wants to rebel. But the Bible's very clear. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to who? Him. In case you missed that, let me give you another one. Actually, Paul repeats that in 1 Corinthians 10, if you want to look that up. Psalm 50. For all of the animals of the forest are mine. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. And then God, if you don't know this, God has a sense of humor. Because I don't think God worries about getting hungry. But look what he says in the next verse. If I were hungry, I'm not going to tell you. Why? If he wants a steak, he owns all the cows. If he needs something, he doesn't come to us. Why? Because he owns it. They're his. Everything in it. If you have a diamond, some of you ladies have a diamond maybe on your engagement ring. And you would say, well, that's my diamond. No, it's not. Your diamond came from God's lump of coal. Man didn't just magically make a diamond. It appeared from something God had. And you say, well, what about my car? Is that God's too? Yes. Well, God didn't build my car. No, but he put the metal in the earth. They pulled out of the earth to make your car. Well, what about your house? Your house is built from God's trees. If it's built out of something else, God made that too. So it's all his. When we understand that all this is God's and you take care of his stuff, then when you have an opportunity to be a good steward, an opportunity to be generous, you can. There's a parable and there's some scripture in the Bible. I didn't bring it up. I didn't give it to you because it gets a little deep. But it talks about eating all your seed. Now, I'm not going into faith and seed. Oral Roberts taught a great message on that. But what I am saying is a lot of us can't be generous because we eat all our stuff. We can't share. We can't be generous. We can't really even tithe, if we're honest. We don't tithe because we eat all our seed. So understanding that it's all his and takes care of it, you can act when the opportunity presents itself. You remember this? You remember what God told Adam and Eve in the garden? Let's go way back. And I'm going to be a little more teachy today than preaching. I want us to learn this together. But remember what God told Adam and Eve? He made Adam and Eve. He put them in the garden, and he said, all this is mine, but you can have it, right? And he gave them a word. Look what the Bible said. It's in Genesis. He used this word. I didn't give you the scripture. Don't worry about it. He uses this word. God told them to tend it. What does tend mean? Take care of it, to steward it. But he said, you can have all of this. But then the Bible says, in the middle of the garden, there was one tree, right? And he said, that tree is mine. See, I think God put it there so every time Adam and Eve walked by it, it reminded them they should know who owns this place. That's God's tree. Well, what's the first thing the devil did? He came to them and told them, well, that's a lie. You can touch that. It doesn't matter who owns it. God just doesn't want you to be like him. What was God? The owner. See, the devil's still doing the same thing today. The fall of man started when they failed to steward what God had given them and tried to become the owner. We watch it still today. The devil still tells that lie today. He's still this lie of you don't have to be a steward. You can be the owner. You don't need to be a giver. You don't need to tithe. Don't you let that church take your money. Well, let me just put you at ease. And maybe knock some of us out of our big britches. God doesn't need your money. Because you're under this deception that it's yours. And the Bible says clearly it's all mine. Now, this really throws people for a loop who really don't know the Bible and those who aren't Christians because they get upset. Oh, no, it's mine. There's no God in heaven. No, you can think that. I even had a discussion with somebody who, and we were talking about this, and they said, well, it's mine. I earned this money. I earned my car. I earned this. I earned that. And so I asked them the question, do you believe in the Big Bang theory of the creation of the world? Bang, you know, some cosmic explosion happened, and then suddenly humans appeared. Or do you believe what the Bible tells us is that God created Adam and Eve? And most all of us would go, well, of course, God created Adam and Eve. Well, you can't have it both ways. Because if you believe God made Adam and Eve, then you have to believe that God made the earth in 7 days, just like the Bible says he did, which means he made everything in the earth, which means it's his. So you can't say, well, I believe there was this cataclysmic explosion or we grew out of the puddle of soup and swamp and man came up, because you can't have it both ways. So when we understand that it's mine, that it's not mine, that it's God's, look what the Bible tells us over and over. It all belongs to God. But for some reason, God went further. He went, this is all mine, but he went to what is your point number two? And point number two is the first belongs to God. The first belongs to God. We talked about this in the beginning of the year in our habits series about making new habits, about giving God our firsts, the first of our day. If you look through the Bible, and I'm not going to teach on it this morning, but all through the Bible, there's a thing called the principle of first, from one end to the other. And it's about giving God the first, giving God the best, giving God the top. Not just keeping him in first place, but giving him our first, giving him our best. Look at the Bible. This is in Exodus. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, this is God talking to Moses, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the first offspring to be born, both humans and of animals, belongs to me. So here's, now I'm telling you it's mine. He's telling you which one's mine. The first is mine. Look what it says in Exodus 23:19. And this is for you people who, like me, who are hard-headed. He says it twice. The first of the first fruits of the land you're going to bring to the house. The first. By the way, this is the God that can never change. Right? The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he was that way back then, is he that way now? Yes. It's not a trick question. The answer's yes. Now look at this. I told you I'm going to be a little more teachy today, so hang with me. If you've got questions, you can ask me when we're done. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. This is a story of Cain and Abel. And look what the Bible says in Genesis. In the course of time, our modern day words, at some point he got around to it. Cain brought an offering of First, some. Doesn't tell us when in the process, some. Of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Look at verse 4. Abel, his brother, brought an offering of fat portions from the firstborns of his flock. The short of the story is, God accepted Abel's and he rejected Cain's. Why? A lot of time I've heard people say, well, he rejected it because God requires a sacrifice of blood, and Abel brought a sacrificed animal and Cain brought fruit. No, you're wrong. The Bible says that he rejected Cain's because it wasn't the first. He rejected Cain's because he did it whenever he could get around to it. He accepted Abel's because it was his first. He gave his best. This is where people will come, and if you fall in this category, please hear my heart. I'm not here to argue. I'm not here to bring condemnation. If you struggle with money and money and God, or you've been taught differently as you have come through church, just hear me out. Because this is where people say, well, Clint, that's you're talking about tithing and the first, and that's under the law, and we're under the New Testament, where we've been made free from the law, and Jesus fulfilled the law, and we're no longer under the law. Well, let me ask you this question. Before the law, was stealing wrong? Not a trick question. Let me ask it again so y'all can ponder it and then respond. Before the law, was stealing wrong? Yes, it was wrong. Before the law, when Moses, you know, came down, Ten Commandments, stone, the law, before that, was murder wrong? Yes. Before the law, Moses, Ten Commandments, right? Before the law, was lying wrong? Okay. That's three yeses. If you're counting. Before the law, was tithing wrong? Nobody want to jump in on that one? And the answer is no. Well, if the law didn't make murder wrong, then the law didn't make tithing right. Why? Because they're principles of God. It wasn't the law. Before the law, stealing was wrong. After the law, stealing was still wrong. It didn't make it wrong. And the law does not make tithing right. It was carried out way before the law. To help you out, and again, I told you this is going to be a little more class today than normal. I made you a timeline. Look at this. Cain and Abel happened in 4000 B.C. Abraham, 2000 B.C. Jacob, 1800 B.C. Moses came down with the law and the tablets, and the law, God gave the law to the Jewish people in 1500 B.C. And just as a frame of reference, King David lived in about 1000 B.C. before Christ. So look at this. Go to the next slide for me. Cain and Abel, 4000 B.C. Moses happened in 1500 B.C. Anybody want to do the math? 2500 years before the law, Cain and Abel, God accepted Abel's first offering, the first fruits of what he had. 500 years before, look at Abraham, 500 years before the law. Abraham, the Bible talks in Genesis chapter 14, you can go read that. He brought a tithe to the Lord. They'd gone in and taken out a country, and they had this big bounty, and he stops and goes to the temple to Melchizedek and says, I'm giving you 10% because it's what belongs to the Lord. 500 years before the law. And one more, Jacob. Jacob's quoted in Genesis 28 saying, God, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything that you have given me. He didn't say what's mine. He said, I'm going to give you back a tenth of everything that you have given me. 300 years before the law. And again, if tithing's been a struggle for you, please hear me. The Bible says very clearly in the New Testament, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My heart today is that you get everything that God has for you, that you just don't get good, but I want best for you. And you're just going to have to hear my heart. This is not because we need any more of your money, because I say this over and over, even when I pray over the offering. I pray every week, and we pray over the offering when we put it in every week, that God, we are fully financed, fully funded to do everything you've asked us to do. Now, the blessing side is for you. The blessing side is God's best for you. So if murder, stealing, and lying are all wrong, and no one in here would say that if you went murdered, stealed, or you just became a crunk, you were a liar, is that going to affect your life? You better believe it. Run in town and run into Bilo and grab an armful of groceries and run out and see what happens. Sylvania's Finest will help you right to your own accommodations and give you a place to stay and two meals a day and a very pretty orange jumpsuit. It will affect your life. Then why do we say, if those things will affect my life, then why do we say, there are people who tell me, listen, I'm not going to tithe. I don't believe I'm not going to tithe. Well, let me tell you, whether you know it or not, it affects your life. I had somebody tell me again, my life is good. My job is good. My marriage is good. My family is good. My finances are good. My stuff is good. And I told him, but you're still short. He said, what do you mean I'm short? Because what you have is good and God's got best for you. What if you found out you've been working in 20 years in a job, and found out that if you had just made a request, you could have made double your wage? All you had to do is ask. You've been working 20 years. You made a good salary, but was that your best? No. That God wants what's best. And the Bible is very clear, and it uses some harsh words. This is why I say, please don't let Satan bring condemnation on you. Because the Bible does use some very firm words. In Joshua 7, talking about Achan, who they went in and took over a land, and the Bible says, all this is mine, don't keep it. Achan went and buried it, and it cost him his life, him and his family. The Bible uses the word stolen. We hear this in the verse that every time you hear an offering, people quote what book and what verse? Malachi chapter 3. For those of you who are from the South, it's Malachi. It's the last. If you don't know where it is in your Bible and you have a paper Bible, go to Matthew and go back. It's the last book of the Old Testament. And it's what you hear people saying and the pastors quote, and they give you condemnation and tell you you're all these bad things. But look what it says, and we're going to look at this together for a minute. It says in Malachi 3, verse 8. It says, you have cheated me. And then this is God talking to the people. And then they respond, when did we cheat you? It said, you've cheated me of tithes and offering that are due. They're due to me. Goes on in verse 9, and it uses this phrase, that you are under a curse. Now, I will fully admit to you, English, I do good to get by in English. That's why I didn't take Greek and Hebrew in seminary, because I struggled with English. I'm not a literary major. Melanie corrects most of my grammar when I write stuff and we send stuff out. She fixes it. I don't have a huge vocabulary. Mabel, my 10-year-old, has a vocabulary way beyond mine because she's a voracious reader. But if I read, you are under a curse, does that sound like a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, let's get it cookies on the bottom shelf real easy for all of us. That's not a good thing. Again, if all of those things that are bad will affect your life, and there were principles that preexisted the law, and giving God the first, the tithe, preexists the law, and it will. And why do we think it won't affect our lives? Look what the Bible goes on to say in verse 10. It says, bring most of the tithe. No. Bring what you feel is good in your heart. Bring what you prayed about. I had people tell me, I'm praying about how much I'm going to tithe. I can make that easy for you. God kind of told you. It's in the Word. I'm talking it over with my wife how much I'm going to tithe. No. Bring it all to the storehouse so there'll be enough food to do what, and enough to do what I need to do. If you do, the Bible says, heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven. And this is where we quote this. And it's still true. The Bible says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven, pour out on you more than you can contain. Why? So you can show it off? No. So you can do more. So you can build a bigger house? No. So you can do more. You can give more. So more people can meet the Jesus that we serve, the one who's given us what we're talking about. It says, and then it says, and you hear people say, oh, you're not supposed to test God. Right here it says you can. Test God. Prove. Let me prove with you what I'm saying in my word is true. I did this years ago, and I debated saying this today, but I'm going to say it again. So you ready? If you start tithing and you're faithful to tithe for a year, come next March, the first Sunday in March, if you've been faithful tithing and you get around to next year, I believe in this so much, and my trustees are probably going to freak out when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If your life is not significantly better, I'll give you your money back. That's how much I believe in this. If you go all in, 10%, the Bible says 10% of your increase, 10% of what is in your life, if you tithe and you do it for a year and you come back next March and your life is not markedly better, I'll give you your money back. Or I'll make the trustees give you your money back. And they don't know it yet, but they will. That's how much I believe in this. Because it's what's best. It's not just best for you. It's what's best for your family. I'm passionate about it because I watched my grandfather, my dad's dad. He was a high school football coach. Then he was a high school athletic director. He retired. And then he just began serving different Christian agencies. He did. He went and marched for Right to Life and marched against abortion. And he did all kinds of stuff. He's just a huge giver. He got audited several times after he retired because the IRS came and said, there's no way you can give away that much money. And he would show them. He was giving away 60% of his income the years before he died as a retired educator. I can't explain it. I just know it's true. And he instilled in my dad, and he built it into me, even as a young age. Even we do it with our girls. If they get $10 as a birthday gift, let's just do the math and practice together. How much tithe is that? Some of y'all are going to carry the 4 over the 1. It's a dollar. And it's the great thing about God. He leveled the playing field. No matter who you are and how much you have, it's the same. The Bible goes on in verse 11. It says, when you do that, here's the stuff that's going to happen. Your crops, you're going to be more productive. We'll bring this into today's terminology. You're going to be able to do more. And I'm going to guard your stuff. I'm going to guard your refrigerator. I'm going to guard your washing machine. I'm going to guard it because I'm guarding it as if it's mine. This is what God's telling us. Anybody got an old lawnmower that just won't die? Like you can run the thing. I have a lawnmower. Get this. It's a true story, rabbit trail, but it proves my point. My grandfather, the one who was such a giver, when Mel and I got married, we moved onto our first house, which is over on Curtis Street, a little house with about a half an acre or so land. I didn't have a lawnmower. So he gave me one of the old Kmart lawnmowers, no adjustment. It mowed grass about that high. You just fired it up and started shoving it through the grass. We mowed for over 3 years before I realized there was not one drop of oil in that mower. 3 years. I'm fully convinced to this day it's because it was my grandfather's. Because God said, I'm going to protect your stuff. Your trees and your fruits aren't going to die from disease. Insects aren't going to eat what's not, you know, and take from you. It says your grapes are not fall from the vine before they're ripe. Some of us have things and dreams that we've been working on and doing, and they've fallen to the ground and died before they ever came to fruition. Because I think God says, I want to help you, but I can't, because you're putting yourself under this curse. And it says, the Lord of the heaven's armies. I don't know about you, but I want an army watching after me. I want God's army. It sounds dorky, I know, but God's army watching after me. Better yet, bring this a little closer to home, I want God's army watching after my girls. I want God's army watching after my wife, after my family. I want them inheriting from me God's best. So it all belongs to God. This is the principle of God that will affect your life. Don't be fooled by the devil. Remember, God can't change. And I want what's best. That you understand that best is from God. Good is all we can ever achieve on our own. So it all belongs to God. The first is God. And you're going to think this is a repeat, but just hear me out. Number three, the tithe belongs to God. And I put this in here because, this is not a condemnation thing. This is a teaching thing. We're learning this together. If you're watching online, please hear my heart. We're just learning together today. The tithe is easy. You look it up in the Greek, and it means a tenth, one tenth. Look what the Bible says in Leviticus 27:30. It says, one tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain or from the fields or from the fruit of the trees, belongs to the Lord. It must be set apart. It's holy. I don't know why God chose a tenth. I don't know why he didn't choose a number like our government would. You know, it's got to be 7.378%. God made it easy. It's 10%. So if you make $10,000 a year, or you make $100,000 a year, or you make $1 million a year, we're all in the same boat. He asked the same. I'm convinced of this, that the church in the U.S., the big capital C church, could wipe out most of what our government does if Christians just tithe. If we as Christians across the United States just tithe, didn't give a nickel more, just tithe. That's good. We're generous, and I encourage people to give over and above. But if we just tithe, I think we could wipe out welfare. We could wipe out hunger programs. We could wipe out all these things that the government's having to do. Because in my opinion, just my opinion, the government's doing what the church should be. My opinion, but I think I can back this up. It's the reason I think Project 216 is so successful. Putting clothes on kids, feeding kids, meeting needs that nobody else will meet. It's because we're doing what God's asked us to do. And it's why it's growing. And we never, that you, from your generosity and generosity from all, if you're watching today, by the way, from somewhere else and your church, we have lots of other churches that send us funds for Project 216. We're doing what God's asked us to do. We're blessing people's lives. That the tithe, let me say it this way. The reason you can do more and go further with 90%, and I avoided this cliche because you hear preachers say it all the time. You know, I can do more with 90% than I can with the 100. Well, that's true, but there's a reason. Because the Bible talks about the heart of a giver, but it also talks about the obedience of a tither. Again, not an English major, not a literary whiz. But the Bible's very clear. It uses two different words for give the verb, and this is way deep in the water for me because you start breaking down sentences and participles and all that. Just listen. The Bible uses two different words, the verb to describe giving or an offering. You give an offering, but what does it say about tithe? You bring a tithe. You're not giving it. Matter of fact, the Bible says in one verse that you're returning the tithe. Let me give you an example. If you've heard this from me before, just bear with me. Let me see somebody here. Who's got a set of car keys? Somebody just throw me a set of car keys. Come on. This is your car, right? You own this car. Give me the keys. All right. There's Josh's keys. He's given me 100% of his car. I could walk out the door, take off in his car, right? Is this car mine? Do I own this car? But do I have the right to the car? Yeah, he just gave me his keys. He doesn't know why yet, but he just gave me his keys. That car is mine. Here is why you cannot give a tithe, but you bring it. Because I can't now go, I just feel like God's ministering in my heart. I was praying last night. Yeah, okay, God, I can do that. I can do that. Okay, here, Jimmy, I'd like to give you this car. Bless you. Now, what's the problem with that? That's not my car. We can act spiritual and high and mighty, and God told me, but you just gave away somebody else's stuff. The only way I can give that car is if I did what? Compensated him for it. I'll give you, I got a dollar in my pocket. Will that work? So I give him a dollar. Now I can give. The problem comes when we try to say, well, I'm going to give my tithe. No, you're missing who does what, who owns it. We're returning to God, and I don't know why. I don't know how it works. There is no magical formula that I've figured out other than the Bible says when you give God 10%, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and pour out on you more than you can contain. That the bugs aren't going to eat your stuff, your stuff's not going to break, things aren't going to die before their time. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like something good for me. Because here's the truth. And this is your last blank on your slot, on your sheet. When you bring the tithe, the owner blesses the rest. There's a whole other teaching on this, but it breaks down to this. The tithe has the potential to bless the rest. The tithe makes the 90 go further. I want you to think about something real quick. The Bible says of God that he gave us his son, his first. We could say that Jesus was God's tithe into the kingdom. He gave him the first. That tithe is the very thing that brought us life because the first has the power to what? Bless the rest. The Bible says there's no other way by which man can be saved other than he come to me through who? Jesus. So I would submit to you that Jesus was God's tithe in this game, in this thing we call life, in this thing we call eternity. And if it's true for Jesus blessing us, then it's true for the 10% that you bring to God and return it to him. Because I'm going to tell you, one day your kids are going to ask. My girls have already asked. Mabel and I had a long discussion in her bedroom one day. She said, Daddy, why do you give money? Why does Mama, in our case, Melanie writes a check. Why does Mama put a check in the offering and give God all this money? And you're going to have an answer. And I saw another pastor explain this and I stole it and I shared it with her, but I'm going to share with you what I told her. I said, baby, because the Bible's very clear. Daddy wasn't always a very good guy. I said, I know, and Mabel and I have a very special relationship. And I said, I know you think Daddy's funny. I know I'm goofy with her and we wrestle and play and I push her buttons that, and I just know this about her. And I said, but Daddy wasn't always really nice. And Daddy's made mistakes. I said, Daddy's done dumb stuff. Daddy's done things that if I told you and you tried to do it, I would ground you for the rest of your life. And she's realizing that I'm serious. And I said, but for some reason, God decided to reach down with his hand and give me an opportunity to spend eternity with him. And then forgive me for all the dumb stuff I've gone. And for that reason, it's an honor for me to bring back and give to God exactly what he asked for. Look what the Bible says, and I think it's in Exodus 13, verse 14. It says, and in the future, your children will ask, what does this mean? And you'll tell them, with the power of his mighty hand, the Lord did what? Brought you out. Look, so get away from money for a minute. Get away from, oh God, I can't tithe. I don't know about this tithing. Get away from all that for a minute. And just go back to what this verse says, what I shared with Mabel. It's because God saved me and didn't give me what I deserve. And there may be some of you in the room who have done some pretty terrible stuff. Most of us have. And you're sitting here today, you haven't gotten what you deserved. Mabel will tell me, this is how the discussion started. She said, Daddy, but it's not fair. And I said, Mabel, we don't want fair. If we played fair with God, he would just erase us. But God said, I'm going to give you grace, and I'm going to give you mercy, and I'm going to give you everything I created in the world. And just as an act of obedience, bring 10% back. Don't get lost in how do I calculate it. And if, there are people who say, well, I don't know, my income's complicated. And this is the way I explain it to my girls. If I give you a dollar and it's a dollar more than you have, then is that a plus or a minus in your life? It's a plus. Did you increase or decrease when I give you a dollar? Daddy, well, I increased. Then tithe. And Mabel, it's funny to watch. She's dogmatic about it. I got to tithe. I got this. I got to tithe. Mommy, you got to help me get me some change because I got it. And she gets it. One of the things I love most about my job and just in talking about God is I love to watch people get it because I know that I can't explain it to you and just turn a switch on, because when you do it and you activate this in your life, there's no doubt that you've crossed the threshold with God. And nobody can take that away from you. Today, as we end, if you'll just bow your head and close your eyes. And next week, we're going to jump into what it means to be a steward. But we need to just settle who owns it. And I know some of us struggle with this. God, my prayer today is for those who are watching online, those in the room with me here. God, just reveal it to us. Your word says if we ask for wisdom, that you'll be good and faithful to give us the wisdom that we need. God, as you speak to our hearts, that let us hold everything you've given us in an open hand. God, you don't have to pry it away. God, you would never take it from us. But God, today we just open our hands and say, God, here. For those in the room who are just trying to figure this out, God, I ask that you just minister to their hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, I thank you that today you use us, Believers Church, Sylvania, Georgia, March the 3rd. God, use us to be a blessing to this community. Father, that we're blessed and you're going to bless us more and do more here this year in 2019, not so we can just go, hey, look at us, but so we can go, hey, look at God. We can reach people who are hurting and lost. Those watching right now online, you're hurting, you're lost. God, help us reach them. Thank you for being big in our lives, Father. Some of you would say, as you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you'll say, Clint, but you're talking about God. And I heard you say, you know, the only way to God is through Jesus. Well, I don't know about if I know Jesus. Or maybe you say, well, I was in church and I was saved and I ran from God and I've turned my back on him. The answer is the same either way. The Bible says when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you repent of your sins, that the Bible says that you have been made whole and complete and that your eternity is secure. Just real quick, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you for it. This is the time between you and God, but you need to make the step. If that's you this morning, say, Clint, just I need you to include me in this prayer. Nobody's looking around. Nobody's watching. It's just you and God. Then just wave at me real quick because I want to pray. There's a couple hands going up. And I know there's some online too. If that's you online, then shoot us a note below. We'll be glad to get right back with you and pray with you. But for the rest of you in the house, let's all pray this together. Everybody with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And today my eternity is secure. In Jesus' name, today I repent of my sins and ask you to forgive me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.